Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, Northfield, Vermont. Let's remember we're gathered together to worship the Lord. Oops.
Praise the name of Jesus, glory to yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King.
Blessing to be able to come up and visit Northfield and Stephen Megan, old friends and some young new ones, and that's great. The first scripture that I was thinking of this morning, because, I mean, I haven't seen Phil. I think we talked about it maybe a year and a half. It's been since we've actually seen each other. When we've talked on the phone. I am blessed to hear services every Sunday. We have the internet, which is a pretty cool thing, but it's easy to turn on the computer and turn on the internet and not really be involved with what the fellowship is all about, that spirit that joins us together. I was thinking of a scripture in Proverbs 27. I think it's 17. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man the countenance of his friend. And what happens in our fellowship is, it's an awesome thing. And it's something that, you have the internet, right? Get to talk to people and whatnot. After I'd spoken to Phil and we had hung out the first night I was here, I was listening to my father in the Lord talk about stuff that he was teaching his children. And for me, it's always been tough because I fell short in so many ways. And it's probably one of the times when I was most appreciative of Steve this weekend. Probably don't show it often enough, you know what I mean? And it's kind of a bummer that he's leaving. Anyway, where I'm going with all this is that there's like a long chain of events, through time that somehow or another the Lord is able to use to orchestrate a place for you personally where you can come to know him. And at least in my own experience, I was so surprised that that was possible. And in my walk today, it's funny, I was praying. I talked to Brother Steve about this. I was praying last week, and I came to realize my prayers have taken on kind of a whiny tone. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't get it. But when the Lord showed me it, it was kind of like I was looking at myself from across the other side of the car, which is where I do most of my praying. And all I'm ever doing is asking him mostly for help, because I'm generally not entirely sure how to do most of what I got to do. But it was interesting because, that whiny tone is not about victory in Christ. And to actually catch hold of that victory, for us as Christians, the major focus is Him, but He is ministered among us through each of us. And that long chain of events that takes place involves a guy that started out in Florida, apparently always wanted to be a minister and had a calling of God, and made a decision to take a trip 1,000 miles away. We didn't have the money, just prayed and got the money and went. I mean, of course, this long chain of events really starts out with "Let there be light." I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's really where it all started. But the idea that people and their decisions, your decisions and my decisions, all are woven together in time to bring about a situation where you individually can have a perfect relationship with the creator of the universe. Now, when you think about this, I mean, when you think about all the cool stuff in nature and all the cool stuff in the universe and the heavens that we can see, the idea that God designed you for this purpose and that everyone, the great majority of people, and we too often, miss the extraordinary opportunity and blessing that we have to be in fellowship with one another, to know Him. And the other place, scripture that I was looking at was Ephesians 3. And we'll wait for my high technology device to come online here. Like I said, I mean, this high technology stuff is a blessing, but at the same time, it doesn't cause you to do the thing that this long chain of events requires of you if you want the relationship that Jesus has conceived from the foundation of the world for you. The internet, it's too easy. It's too easy. Because you see, the ingredient that goes into your relationship with Jesus that He can't furnish is your desire for what He has. And if you're like me, I mean, the long chain of events, it was like a bomb going off, and bingo, I saw that this opportunity was available, and I don't think I've ever wanted any other thing more, even though I spend most of my time being distracted from it. It's just, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. It's one of the reasons my prayers get whiny, because how can I know this, all right, and know the celebration, the rejoicing, and the power of God in my life? How can I spend 1 minute feeling sorry for myself? Do I need help? Absolutely. Am I justified in feeling sorry for myself because I can't figure stuff out sometimes? No. And you see, when we're focused on what we want and we're not getting it, we forget that there's this long chain of eternal events that had to happen for us to get with Him. It included the decisions and sacrifices of those that went before you and generations all the way back to the beginning. People who decided in the midst of things, in the midst of a life that they thought there was their own, saw that that wasn't true, gave up their life, and went with everything they could after that blessing because they saw that He put it there for them. They never received it unless they went after it. I mean, look at Israel and the wrestling match that he had with the angel. I mean, that really was what it was all about. And again, what the internet's great, and I thank God I got it, but it's not enough. At least it's not enough for me. Maybe there's some folks out there who that's working for, and I like the internet. I enjoy listening to people preach and teach. But the fullness of our fellowship, for whatever reason, is more perfectly experienced when we're all in the same place together. The same natural place, and by the power of God, the same spiritual place. That mind of receiving all that He has for you in every situation. And together we do that a lot better, at least I do a lot better, than when I'm by myself yelling help. And the answer is, look, the help is there. But you got to press into the help. Ephesians 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard, ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. So this guy, Paul, has this thing that was given to him, not for him, but for you. Right? It's not about him, it's about the gift that he has for your sake. I mean, and everybody in this fellowship has someone who was personally responsible for receiving that gift. Someone who way too often we fail to properly appreciate. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now he goes on to talk about the Gentiles and how they were going to hear the message, and that was part of this, but the mystery of this was the unity of the Spirit that we share as a function of the love of God for us when he said, let there be light. And that light is all about seeing him and getting us out of the way. Because it's that gift for others that we're blessed to have and share with one another that magnifies him in the most perfect way, at least here in this walk, where we have a fellowship that is bound by a love that is received and dealt in by the decision, which is not just, oh, I think I'm going to church. I'm going to go get what I know God has for me. I'm going to get up off of my butt and go after, in every situation, the things that the Lord has created for me to walk in. And when you fail to do that, you get back up, you dust yourself off, and you do it again. Because you know that that's what he wants for you. You know the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow is the one you're after. And if you have that singleness of mind, even if you just experienced it once or twice, you can learn to walk in it. You can learn to have it, and you can learn to share it with others. And I thank God for the fellowship. I thank God that my brother Steve landed on my doorstep. Bless you. Bless you, Steve Megan. Thanks for having us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Is it on?
Yep.
All right. It's kind of nice starting at 11 instead of 10. Get a little more time there. But, I mean, praise the Lord. I mean, one of the things just being down here, that essentially what you're talking about there, Scott, is one of the things that, and I hope I can say it right, and Steve said the Lord will meet us with our will. And you're talking about going after something, going after that which the Lord has for us. And not essentially just for us alone, but for others, that we can go give it out to others as well. And it's easy. I mean, I know for me, it's just easy to see you get up and you go after that thing. And you stumble, you fall, and it's easy to draw back. It's easy to see yourself. I mean, because as you go forward, I mean, one of the things happens is that the light kind of shines on your heart. You start to see how you really are, and you just go, oh, my goodness. This is... Yeah, I mean, the wrong one. Oh, my God, help me. Is it what that, I mean, what you were talking about there? But because... And it's not news. I remember hearing a service not too long ago where Steve is saying, it's not news to the Lord that the way we are. It's news to us that the way we are. And that's just so true. And you look at these things, and I look, and for me, I can see, man, that's good. You know, I have faith that the Lord will work with my wife and with my children, with people around me. But for me, I'll struggle with. I'll struggle with obtaining that. and looking at the situations at hand or what I have before my face to overcome and conquer, and but it's all available to me, and it's never been about what I was able to do, what I was able to perform. It's all been about what He was able to do and what He's able to perform. And the fact that He will meet us with our will, we just make that choice to believe Him, and there's no other way. There's no to attain that gift that He has for us. It's there's no other option. The option of drawing back is not there for you. That's not an option. It's not. And you need to get in that mindset and watch the Lord meet you there. And it's basically a choice that you make where you choose to believe Him no matter what. You choose to believe His Word no matter what and what He has done. We're talking about who's going to meet us? Jesus. And what did He do? He created. He spoke things into existence. What greater power is going to meet us? He is well able to meet us. And what better help do we have? So if that is right there before us, what keeps us back from obtaining that which He has for us? Unbelief. The sin which, what does it say, does so easily beset us. But it's right there before you. See, our carnal mind doesn't want us to have that. Our carnal man, our natural man, is cursed. It's at enmity with God. It doesn't want us to obtain that gift that He has for us. It's going back to the ground and wants to drag you with it. But the freedom in Christ is that we don't have to listen to that thing anymore. And then those places where I look at myself and I come to a realization of just how awful I am, how incapable I am, and all these things. I mean, praise God. It's never been about that. It's always been about Him. And it's just some things that are just shown that in my heart that I put before Him. And it's just Him showing me in a way that I can get rid of it. Repent of those things I've been hanging on to and grab onto something better. He's a loving Father. He wants nothing but good for us. I mean, what did He say? And I'm going to mess it up, but it's not the Father's will that any be lost. Amen. None. But we have free will. And even though that gift is right there before us to obtain and grab and go forward in, doesn't mean we're going to choose it. That's a choice we make. And Jesus gave us that freedom to make it. We're not bound to this flesh anymore. So what freedom is that? Praise God. Not upon my goodness, not upon my righteousness, not upon my capabilities or incapabilities can keep me from that gift. Amen. How fair is that? That means anybody in this room, from youngest to oldest, can obtain that gift. Well, praise the Lord. That's something I can obtain. All the other things I might not be able to, but they don't matter. It doesn't matter. But praise the Lord. That's all I have for this morning.
Well, praise God. Yeah, I was thinking of one word you said there, Phil, and I want to bring it from want to elaborate on it or in different, slightly different angle. You were talking about the problem is unbelief or the sin is unbelief. It's true, but you know what the strength of unbelief is? Pride. Pride is the strength of unbelief. You know why? You know how pride works to be the strength of unbelief? It's the thing that justifies us in all our unbelief. I mean, it's awesome, man. I mean, we can justify ourselves around anything. But the other thing where it talked about drawing back unto perdition. Anybody here want perdition?
No.
I don't want freaking perdition. I hate perdition. To me, that is like I despise perdition. Hate it, don't want any part of it, whatever I got to do to get shed of it, I want to do to get shed of perdition. Because perdition means I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't know about you guys, but I have zero interest in going to hell. I don't want that at all. And so the thing is that then that free will, and the issue with will is this, is that God is a gentleman. God is not going to force you to believe something. He's not going to force you to do something. He may create circumstances where the thing you formerly did not want to do, all of a sudden looks like maybe your best option, okay? He will do that for you. And the way you get to that place, usually you're whining and crying and moaning and complaining and utterly pissed off and angry and furious and don't like it at all. You know, it's like a steady diet of liver if that's not what you like. You know what I mean? Good for you. Gives you lots of iron and stuff like that. But please give it to somebody else, all right? You know? All right, that's how it is. They're like, oh, no. Liver again? Please, no. But the fact of the matter is that that part of it, and that's his grace and that's his love, is that the way he interacts with us, he can interact with us to bring us to a place where that which we did not have the strength to make a decision to do before, we find ourselves in a place where really that's the only decision we have. The way we get to that place is a lot of times not very pretty. But the fact that when we get there, we now have that perfect opportunity. The hand is still outstretched and not a single bit of how we got there is held against us. Not a single bit of how we got there is held against us. All there is mercy. All there is grace. All there is love. All there is power to deliver. That's all that there is there. So I don't want us to lose sight of that. Gail. Get up here and say something for the Lord. Give me that microphone over here. Gail's completely not prepared for this, which is perfect from my perspective. I did.
Oh, she's turning you on, man. Awesome. You're ready, man.
Well, he specifically said...
It's working. It's not through the PA, so you won't hear it.
All right. Well, he specifically said last night two people that he was going to have speak today, none of which were me. So that was blindsiding. I really have not gone and researched anything. But I will say, being around for a long time, in this ministry, that Jesus is real. He does answer prayer. He does answer our questions. You can depend on him. As people, we're flawed. Now Steve's getting nervous. As people, we are flawed, fatally flawed in the flesh. And to try to make this flesh anything other than it is an absolute waste of time. Really, just stick your head in the toilet and flush. If that's where you're at, it's over. It will never happen. I have tried everything. It doesn't happen. As for depending on the Lord, it takes faith. You can't see him. You can only see him in the eyes of your brothers and sisters when their heart is revealed to you in a simple way. It's either light or it's dark. Light or dark. And that's what you see. Because if you get to see any more than that, if the Lord revealed himself to us, it wouldn't take any faith. It would take none. So just understand that if somebody comes along telling you and showing you great things, you know, these big mega churches I've seen on television, you know, and they're be healed, you know, when they shove the person over and of course just happens to be people right there catching, you know, and then they look all healed. A lot of that's just trickery. It's fakery. The Lord does things, but he doesn't do big showy things when the television set is all ready for you. It's just not the way he works. I've seen great things. I've seen great answerings of prayer. But it's never easy. There's a prayer that I always pray to the Lord, and that is to please remove all the pride and rebellion from me. And I don't repent. And I don't let up. Yet it has nearly driven me insane. I'm telling you, it's not easy. But I don't repent of that. I would never draw back from that. I never go, oh, I better not pray for that because, you know, that's going to be hard. The answers to that are going to be hard to get to. It's just a matter of fighting down the world, which is right in our flesh and wrapped around us, and believing him, seeing the light and not the dark. And that's all I have to say. Praise God.
On the rock, now I know.
Praise you. I want to share something with you real quick about that pride, Gail, you're talking about. We had a chat. We were laughing last night at the end of a rather lengthy conversation last night about how our prayers in these ways, we often, you know, we don't realize God's answering our prayers because we don't really like the answer. You know? It doesn't feel good. But I want you to understand a thing, and I want you to remember this. That pride and everything is your flesh. That's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. So one thing I want you to understand, it's always going to be there, but don't let that stop you. Don't let it stop you. It does not matter. You have no idea, well, probably you do have some idea, of what an unbelievably prideful, arrogant, a few other four-letter and other assorted words, that I am. Carrie knows something about that. People actually sometimes find that that kind of angers them about me. That some butthole jerk like me can actually walk in the grace of God. I mean, because just look at them. Anybody can see it. And it's confounding and frustrating and pisses people off and all sorts of things. Because you know what? It doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. And even makes use of it when it shows itself. Because then it draws something out of you. It does. And you don't like what it draws out of you. Tough. That's the stuff we're supposed to get rid of anyways. It does not matter. It does not matter. So praise God. We serve a perfect God. Amen. Who is perfectly capable of accomplishing perfect works through imbeciles like you and me.
Hallelujah.
It makes no difference. And the beauty of it is you don't need any products for this. You don't need any products for this. The Lord's able to accomplish it without any products at all, unless you want to call the blood of Jesus a product. Right? The Spirit of God a product. The grace of God a product. The love of God a product. Those are the only products you need. And those He has in abundance. He has an abundance. And the fact that everybody can see your nakedness and uncleanness actually glorifies Him even better. But it doesn't make us ever look any better than we are. That part sometimes can be hard to get over. Because we're so busy wanting to look better than we are. And yet Christ could care less about any of that. So, just realize that yes, while He's been answering your prayer in many unhappy ways, which we were going through counting some of them last night, none of them matter. They don't matter. And they don't limit what He can do through you. Amen. Or any one of us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's sing a song.
I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm suspicions, but I'm still a man in need of a savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Lord, be my light and be my salvation, 'cause all I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring the sickness under control. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions, but I'm still a man in need of a savior. Wanna be in the light. riches have no worth. Pain that once did cover me.
Cry through it. Yeah, that's why she doesn't cry, want to. So do
Remember, it's the power of His might that we're to be strong in. And thank you all for joining us. May the Lord bless you.